At Vistar, we believe in better. Better convenience. So members can bank any way they want. Whether it's at a branch, on a mobile device, or at one of more than 20,000 fee-free ATMs across North America. We believe that people have better things to do with their time. If you believe that convenience is better, join Vistar. We never forget that it's your money. All loans subject to approval, insured by NCUA.
Okay, welcome into the final Duly Noted podcast of this academic year. I guess that's the best way to put it. I will be having surgery, as we all know, Friday, and then on my knee to get it replaced. And then at some point, we'll come back. My guess, I've been trying to guesstimate this, would be the Tuesday before SEC Media Day. So it's not off for that long with Florida's schedule moved up. And that would be like, I want to say the 9th or so of July. So you won't have to go that long without it for those of you who enjoy it. And I know I get a lot of great comments from people. And so we'll come back and you know, whether it's me and Robbie or me and somebody else to look at the SEC heading into media days and where we are. I don't know that a whole lot is going to change between now and then. But and then we'll skip a week for the SEC media days and then come back and every Tuesday till football and then every Tuesday, Thursday. Once we get to football season. So, looking forward to, I'm not looking forward to, it's funny when you have surgery like this, and unfortunately I've been through a lot of them. I had prostate, I had hip, I had the other knee, a couple other things. You think, man, I can't, you know, the one good thing is I'm going to get some rest. I'm just going to lay in that hospital bed and watch TV and just not worry about anything. It doesn't work that way. As everybody who's been in the hospital knows, they're coming in every hour to make sure you're still breathing and get blood tests. And I appreciate what nurses do. I think nurses are right up there in the top 10 most important people in the world because of what they're able to do and how many lives they save. So you don't get much rest, but, when I get home, watch a lot of Netflix, I imagine, and try to rehab this thing as quickly as possible without pushing it too hard. All right, I know you guys are sick of talking about me. I'm not even going to talk about my golf tournament. How about that? Our golf tournament is in such great shape, I don't even need to talk about it anymore. And that's what we did, my brother and I, last week. So looking forward to getting back to work on that, but we had to do that as a result. All right, so now I am talking about my golf term. Let's talk about the spring game. Obviously, guys, it was set up for the offense and to have a lot of fun and throw a lot of deep balls and it went well. I mean, that's what you want. Look, if you came in to your spring game and you said, "Look, guys, we're going to throw every blitz. We think we have an offense that is so sophisticated right now that we're going to throw every blitz at the offense, and I mean, we're not gonna allow you to hit the quarterback, but we're gonna throw everything at it and see how we pick it up and see how the quarterback picks it up." And then you scored 60 points, one side scored 60 points, you'd have big problems. But no, what you did is you set it up for offense, and offense executed, and offense did really well. It beats the alternative, which is, okay, here's the deal, guys, no blitzing. We're going to throw a bunch of deep balls. We're going to get a couple of freebies, you know, to Chris Doering and Lito Shepard and get a lot of points on the board and everybody's going to have a good time. And you ended up 13-10, you would say we got problems. So I think this Florida team comes out of the spring about as confident as they possibly could. It's a very, very confident team. You know, I mentioned last week that I worry too much about the perception of the program from outsiders in terms of they building them up too high and setting them up for a fall. And sometimes I worry about that. I remember, I don't think I told this story last week, but at any rate, after the 2012 season, when Florida was so good, went 11-2, obviously didn't end well, But I remember the whole summer not wanting the season to start. And if you know anything about me, that's the opposite of who I am. My summer, you know, when you're a kid, you want summer to last forever. When you're a sports writer who loves college football, you want summer to get over with. It's hot. It's sticky. You've been to the beach enough. You're fine. Let's go, football. Well, this year, that year, I knew that that was a little bit of a – trying to think of the right word. It wasn't really fool's gold because that was a pretty good team. They won some tight games. The win at Texas A&M was amazing. You know, they were okay. They were a good team. They weren't a great team, but they had a great record. I mean, they were one play in the Notre Dame USC game away from going to the national championship game. But didn't show up in the Sugar Bowl. Obviously, Louisville had a lot more to play for, and maybe that's one reason. But I was kind of like, didn't really want the season to start. I knew it wasn't going to be as good just from the personnel. I didn't know it was going to be 4-8. But that kind of bleeds over to this year where you're like, man, that was so much fun after what we've been through. They won 10 games. They won 10 games under McElwain. You didn't feel the same way. I think there's a lot, the level of confidence, I think, bleeds over to the fans and even maybe some of the people covering the team where you're like, I think this team's going to be pretty good. We'll have to wait and see on a lot of things, but it should be a lot of fun. All right, we'll take a break, as we always do right around this time, and come back, continue to talk about the spring game. Also, a little bit about teams that may fool you in college football next year. Well, it's not even next year. It's just a few months away. You're listening to the Duly Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com.
The Gators are definitely on a roll under Coach Mullen, and next year should be even better. Winning is great for the program, but not for everything. Did you know what winning also does? It creates difficulty finding hotel rooms around game day.
Oh, no.
Most hotels triple their normal rates and charge at least two nights minimum.
What?
And if the Gators really start winning, everything will be sold out way in advance.
No! No!
Have you ever thought about owning your own place in Gainesville to use for you and your friends and family on game day weekends? Call Betsy Pepin, the top realtor in Gainesville and sponsor of the Duly Noted Podcast at 352-226-8474. And she'll help you find that perfect place for whenever you come to Gainesville. And when you're not using the place, she'll Airbnb it and take care of all the details. Betsy makes it easy for you to enjoy game day weekends instead of paying five-star rates for a one-star motel. Own your game days next year. Call Gainesville's number one realtor, Betsy Pepin, today. 352-226-8474. 352-226-8474.
Okay, yeah, you know, it is just a few months away and weeks away to the start of college football season, which is amazing. After my surgery Friday, it's 50 days until the Bob Dooley Invitational, and then you got about a month, and then it's on. Because once, you know, like we talked about, once SEC Media Day comes this year because of the early start, it's on. College football season is officially started. So, you know, I think it's going to play a huge role. I think it's going to be good. Now, I this is with a caveat. We talk about players, well, we're opening up with Miami at a neutral site. Let's get fired up and, you know, we're going to work harder than we ever have. Well, you would have to think Miami feels the same way, right? I mean, why are they going to – no. We've decided we're not going to work the hardest we've ever worked because we don't care if we look good against Florida. Of course they are. They're going to bust their tails too. You better bust your tails just as hard. You like to think harder, but you never know. You don't know what they're doing, right? So those two teams are going to be ready because of the early start of the season. And I would think that because the season's starting so early, those guys are going to really intensify their workouts all summer because they know it's going to be here so fast. So it'll be, look, the work begins now for Nick Savage and for those guys to continue to take steps. Like, I'm a big believer that every college football season is made up of a million steps. And every step you take is important. If you don't decide, I'm going to show up a half hour late for workouts today. I know Felipe wants us out there catching balls, but you took a step backwards that day. You've got to continue to take, maybe it's not a million steps, but there are a lot of steps in a college football season. And you're now, the first step you take is the day you land from your flight, from your bowl game, or the bus trip, or the end of your season in November, it could be. That's the day that your season starts. And then what you do with it, you take these steps. You take steps continuing to work out. Then you get to spring practice. There's a million steps there, because did I get better on every play? And all these are cliches, and I get all that. And cliches have always been the bane of my existence. I used to argue with a guy who wrote for us, and he was a really good guy. But he used to kind of write cliches, as good as advertised, stuff like that. And I said, look, a cliche is somebody else's great line. Somebody else had a great line, and then it got overused to the point where it's a cliche now, and now you're using it? That's easy. The hard thing is come up with a great line. But cliches are the lifeblood. Recruiting's the lifeblood of the program. Well, recruiting's one of the cliches. I think I am totally babbling now, but you get what I'm saying, I think. So we'll see what this team ends up with, but we're going to know very quickly. It's not going to take much time because, as August 24th, baby, we'll figure out. We'll have Robbie on. We're going to talk about when we think they may start. The crowd itself was a pretty good crowd. They announced it at 39-plus. They could easily have fudged it over 40. Nobody would have said a word because Robbie thought it was about 40. I thought it was a little less. But as the game went on, that sometimes people move around. Again, don't forget, it's a free admission. So it's not like it's always an exact count. But the bottom line is 40,000 people showed up for a spring game, and that's fine. You had enough of a crowd to make noise. You had enough of a crowd to get the players fired up, and that's all that really matters. It doesn't matter if you had 40 or 50 or 60. Nobody's ever won a spring game or won a national championship in the spring at a spring game. But, George is probably on Saturday going to have the biggest crowd of any team in the SEC, and theirs is still expected to be down. I think Alabama right now has the most, and Georgia's the only one left, and theirs was 60. Remember the days when they used to put 80,000 in there? And it's not necessarily because they lost the championship game as much as it is because going to things like that, going to pretend games, they're just harder, and they're harder to get people fired up for. It's hard enough to get people to real games. It is really hard. We've been discussing this ad nauseum for a couple of years now, really about 2.5 years. I've done a ton of stories on it. It's harder. It's getting harder and harder to get people to go to real games. It's really hard to get them to go to pretend games. I mean, that's a real difficult thing. And I understand if you didn't want to sit in 88-degree heat in tiny bleachers and watch a game that didn't count. I understand if you did want to go, too. If you wanted to be there, if you were there, if you were part of the 40,000, I get it. But I also get why you wouldn't want to go. But this is just part of the overall problem. Again, I don't know what the answer is on spring games. I don't know what the answer is on any games because it's just part of the trend. So, big thing is no injuries in the spring. And for the most part, they're going to be a pretty healthy team. Hopefully, again, the coaches always worry about this time of year. You don't have them every day. Strength coach gets them, but you can't be out there watching them. But even more so than that, it's April, May, June. Kids are having a little bit more fun. Maybe they're out at the pool, and then they go out to the club, and bad things happen. And that's the number one thing. The number one thing right now is that nobody tears a freaking Achilles, which seems to happen every offseason, and that nobody gets in serious trouble. I mean, look, people are going to get small things can happen that become bigger things, and you end up getting them worked out. I'm not getting into detail about what was big, what was small over the years. But certainly, defrauding somebody in credit cards, as a knucklehead nine did, that was a really dumb thing, and it really hurt your team, and it was very selfish. Throwing a bag of potato chips at a sandwich shop, no, was not a big thing, but it almost got treated the same way. So, hey guys, have fun this summer. Work your tails off. Do you really want this, or do you kind of want it? That's the thing that you have to understand. Do you really, really want it? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get it? Or do you think, I still might be able to get it if I skip this workout today? That's your call. As the other guy used to say, you got to make a choice. And he made a choice, and now he won't be playing. He chose not to play. But the bottom line is, there are a lot of choices you have to make as a college football player. One thing that Scott Strickland actually said this to me, I think it may be actually a cliche. I don't know if it is or not. But it's actually a really good statement about finding out what you have with your team. And that is, you have to find out who wants to be a football player and who likes to be a football player. In other words, who wants to do what is necessary every day of the week, every meal, every practice, every game, every play of every game to be a football player. And who just likes to be a football player? Hey, look at me. You see my new cleats? See my new cleats? Aren't they sweet? Yeah, pretty nice. Yeah, I got them for being a football player. I know I'm probably not supposed to take this free drink, but nobody's really watching. So, yeah, go ahead and pour me another one. Yeah, I like being a football player. It's great. You got to want to be a football player, first of all. Liking being a football player, that's great. And I've known a lot of guys like that. You got to want to be a football player. You got to want to make it happen. All right, I mentioned that I may talk about this, so I will get to it. Teams most likely to fool you this year. And look, Florida may be one of those teams. I got to be honest. You know, when you look at these preseason top 25s, you know, you're going to see Florida up there very high. They may be the team that does fool the so-called experts just because of that offensive line issue. I think other than that, I think they're going to be really good, and we'll find out how that line does. And the schedule, you never know. When you're playing 10 pretty good teams. I don't go too far on FSU and Vandy, maybe even Miami, but you're still playing capable teams capable of beating you. Vandy almost beat Florida last year. FSU had won 5 in a row. Now, they won't be a team that fools anybody, because not too many people are going to rank them based on – and the reason is not, whoa, they were terrible last year. That's not why you don't rank them. They've been terrible 2 years in a row, and that should tell you that there's a talent issue there. They're not quite good enough. And I don't think anybody – when I do my top 25 – and that's something I'll do, probably one of the first things I do when I get back, is say, okay, I've had some time to think about it. Here's my top 25. When I do it, FSU won't be in the top 25. Are you kidding me? No. There's no reason to. You know what? The only reason to? Brand. That is the only reason to, because FSU used to be really good. I'm not saying they can't be again. I'm not saying that Willie Taggart's a disaster of a coach. I personally, right now, I tend to believe he is, but I won't be shocked if they all of a sudden get back. I mean, they're in the ACC where there are some really tough teams and some really bad teams. But some teams that might fool you. I think Texas is a team that could fool people, because I think people are going to have them really high. I think they have 8 starters coming back. And that's a lot of losses. So I'd be wary, a little wary of Texas. I think Michigan's another team that could fool some people because people are putting a lot into the fact that he changed his coaching staff up dramatically. That may or may not work, but he lost an awful lot of talent, and he has it. Look, he's the head coach of a team that fails in November. Would you not agree with me on that? They have failed in November year after year at Michigan. So he's still the main guy. And I think Syracuse is another team that may fool some people. They won 10 games last year. I didn't think they were 10 games good. They found ways to win games. I think Dino Babers is a rising young star and did a heck of a job with that team last year. I just don't know how good they'll be this year. You know, a lot of times you have to look at the schedule and say, you know, when I'm making that top 25, for example, Texas A&M has a brutal schedule. Texas A&M has Georgia, LSU, Alabama, and Clemson on their schedule. Now, do you take them and say, well, I think they have the 15th best team in the country, but I don't see any way they're going to be able to survive that, so I'm going to put them at 20. Or do you say, look, I think they're the 15th best team in the country. I'm putting them 15, and then it's up to them to handle their schedule. There's different ways to look at it. There's also different ways to look at coaches, and one thing that happened this week with Greg Madison, who I think the world of, great guy, was in Michigan, went to Iowa State as an assistant coach. And one of the players at Michigan, who I think he was a position player, Aiden Hutchinson, I don't know who he is, but I just read this story, tweeted a snake emoji out because Madison referred to Michigan as that team up north. And I got no problem with any of this, okay? None whatsoever. It's like when Hugh Jackson went to Cincinnati and Baker Mayfield lost his mind because he went to a – look, you have to understand, coaches are employees. They go to work, and they work for whoever's writing their signing their paycheck. And if it happens to be somebody that you think you hate, you despise, they don't care. Coaches are only as loyal as their paycheck. And I've talked about this all the time, and I think it makes you more comfortable to realize that every coach who's ever coached for your favorite team could coach for the arch rival tomorrow and no problem. Steve Spurrier, yeah, I know. Steve Spurrier, we say Steve Spurrier, he would never go coach FSU or Georgia. He coached against Florida for a long time. And he's the closest, in my mind, to somebody who could fall into the other category. You know, maybe Bill Snyder, but let me tell you what. If Bill Snyder decided before he was retired, let's say when he was a little bit younger, you think Bill Snyder, Kansas State football, that's all you can think about. He gets a job offer to coach Miami. Now, that would be the worst fit in the history of coaching. Just say he didn't. They were going to give him a ton of money. Let's say, I tell you what, Miami's not a good choice. Let's say Georgia, okay? And he's going to go to Georgia, and they're going to play Kansas State. You know, his Kansas State allegiance are gone. Anyway, I'm babbling again. Let's get a break in. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the Masters. First of all, we're going to get Robbie to come on and talk about – he'll talk about Tiger and, of course, the spring game. And then we'll come back and we'll do three things and all that. But let's take a break right now. You're listening to the Duly Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com.
At Vistar, we believe in better. Better convenience. So members can bank any way they want, whether it's at a branch, on a mobile device, or at one of more than 20,000 fee-free ATMs across North America. We believe that people have better things to do with their time. If you believe that convenience is better, join Vistar. We never forget that it's your money. All loans subject to approval, insured by NCUA.
Okay, welcome back to the Duly Noted Podcast, and always great to bring in Robbie Andrew. Robbie and I are kind of setting ourselves up for a radio career after this is over.
For retirement, yeah.
Yeah.
Getting there quick.
Well, we've heard nothing but positive comments about Robbie being on this podcast.
I make you look good, Pat.
Well, no, there's no visuals. Most of those comments have come from people that are related to him, I might point out. But let's just talk a little bit about the spring game and just the whole scene, Robbie. It was brutally hot for
it
April.
Really was
April. I mean, it was when we went down the field, I was like, man, how did people sit through this? But they got to see a pretty good show.
Yeah, and the whole thing, Pat, and you know, Mullen talked about that the Monday before, that he wanted to make it very festive and fun, and so they made the game fun, where it was very entertaining to watch. And if you're a defensive person, it was probably frustrating, but you know, they threw the ball around, scored a lot of points, goofed around a little bit, and nobody got hurt, so it was a great day.
What kind of personality do you think you have to be a defensive person? I mean, like somebody who appreciates great defense and doesn't like 58-51 games. Do you know anybody like that? But everybody says, well, I'm more of a defensive guy.
I haven't run into many guys like that.
No.
You like to be entertained.
But they're there. They're out there.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that happened also on Saturday was the fact that the defense just let them do a lot of what they did. And so you couldn't really tell a whole lot. I mean, Marco Wilson obviously won dress. I don't think CJ played.
I think he played maybe a couple of plays, yeah. And then they pulled him out. You know, the veteran guys, they didn't play long at all.
No. And the one guy that I saw running around out there pretty good and making a lot of tackles was Ventrell Miller. And he may be a guy who's ready to step up and play.
Yeah, I think
a lot
so,
more this year.
Yeah.
He's more of a special teams guy last year.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the freshman kid too, Pierre kid.
He
recovered
a
fumble. He looked good too for a true freshman. He looks like he knows what he's doing out there already, and very physical, fast guy. So,
well, here's what I talked about earlier. Yeah, it was totally set up for the offense to do great. It was all lined up that way. They wanted it to do great. I think even in the defensive minds, even the DBs minds, they were almost like, I don't really need to cover them because they want them to score. You know?
Well, yeah, a couple times they just kind of quit on the play, Pat.
Yeah, and the one time, what's his name? Steiner pulled a little hamstring pull. No, nothing serious. But just because it's set up for you to score a lot of points, it's not an automatic. So the
you fact gotta execute
that they
it.
Could still execute it is a good sign.
And the thing is, Pat, those people worried about the defense. The one scrimmage we were allowed in, the defense played great and made it tough on the offense. So yeah, they're going to be fine there for sure. And, you know, I just think you saw a lot of the offense, the potential that they have there with all those receivers and running backs. And if that line can hold up, they're going to be pretty good.
Well, and that's the other thing is that every play, something bad happens.
Yeah.
You know, in a spring game. And so you can't worry about it too much. But we talked about it last week. Biggest thing is get through it without injury.
Yeah.
And they seem to do that.
That was big.
And now it starts. And Robbie and I were just talking before we did this. We were trying to figure out when practice is going to start. And we think it right around July 25th or so, 26th, somewhere in that area.
It's got to be, Pat.
Which means it may start the week after SEC Media Days, which has never happened before.
That means our summer's over when we leave here to go to Birmingham, to Hoover.
Hoover.
Yeah, it's all over then.
Yeah, well, let's cram as much in as we can.
But then we get an open date the first week, right?
Three.
Okay,
altogether.
I'll take them.
Yeah, I'm fine with it the way it is. Was there one guy, though, that you saw out there that you think might be the – like last year, I think a lot of us suspected that Polite might be that guy.
Yeah.
Because he had shown some signs. He'd shown the hustle. He'd shown the speed. They got his body into shape, and he went off. Is there somebody out there now that you watch, and it's kind of hard to look – I'm not just talking about just defense, but offense too –
Grimes, Pat, you did your column on him. He's had just a breakout spring. He closed out the year great. And you look at his size, speed, hands, route running ability. He's going to be a bear to cover if you're a cornerback.
Well, and that was
safety.
Yeah, and that was the whole point that Coach Mullen was making was, look, I've got the tools now.
He does have him. There's no doubt about it.
Because I can put him out there, and then I can put right next to him Kyle Pitts, who's a 6'6" mismatch for anybody. And oh, so on the other side, there's Van Jefferson and Tyree Cleveland who can go long.
Yeah. And then Josh Hammond and Freddie Swain.
You know, and a tight end that. So it's amazing the difference. But I also go back to this, Robbie. This is what we were talking about before when Dan Mullen got here. Could he do this? And he has done it pretty effectively so far, which was developing players, not only recruiting players, but developing players and making them understand what they were supposed to be doing. And you're seeing guys that you didn't recognize. I mean, there was times during the year, I think you and I both went, when did Swain get so fast?
I know. Because they know what they're doing now, Pat. That's why you play fast when you know what you're doing. And they definitely have bought into the system, and they love the system, and it's working, and it's going to only expand this year with more experience with the quarterback and everybody else. So it should be fun to watch.
Yeah, I thought what Grimes said was interesting. He says you can't be stingy in this offense.
Yeah.
Because if you're like, oh, I didn't get the ball.
It's going everywhere.
It's going all over the place. So that's how you're going to get open.
Yeah.
So I thought it was also interesting that Van Jefferson was talking about how Grimes was right up near at the top and dropped balls last spring, and you look at him now.
He said he was too, which to me was startling. I wouldn't have thought that.
Well, I think these guys had to kind of all learn how it goes. And now again, defensively, I mentioned Ventrell Miller, but there wasn't a whole lot of excitement there. But I'm not worried about the defense. What did they end up ranked last year in total defense? Like
they're in the top 10, I think, Pat.
I think they were maybe a little below 10. But anyway, can it be an elite defense? That's a question I have, because you would like to think they wouldn't have to be, just because you think offensively they should be really good.
Points, yeah.
But you still come back to the same old thing, the offensive line. It's so funny. This is the first year, I'm going to say this, this is the first year since Tebow left that quarterback is not the number one thing.
It's not even, it's not
that we're
anymore
concerned about.
And you know, you look at how he's developed Franks, and you know, Emory Jones was talking the other day that he's watched the development of Franks under Mullen. It gets him fired up because
right.
He said, you know, Franks now is a baller, which to me it says, you know, this guy knows how to develop a quarterback. And if he could do what he's done with Franks, you know, Emory Jones is going to be patient and see what happens with himself with under Mullen. So
yeah, it's amazing. I mean, we think that now, let's not forget, you know, three-fourths of the way or two-thirds of the way through the season, the same quarterback was being booed.
Yeah, he was.
On the field.
He was. Because fans do not have the patience that Mullen had.
Yeah. And then he.
And maybe they're going to learn from that whole lesson about what Franks went through last year with patience with guys.
Yeah, and Dan's trying to keep the competition going and everything. But the bottom line is he's got a track record for sticking with one guy.
Yeah, he does.
Who knows whether Trask would have started that game, South Carolina game, if he hadn't gotten hurt. I mean, that was the speculation, but that was us.
Yeah.
It was never Dan Mullen's speculation.
But, you know, Mullen this spring indicated that, well, you know, I pulled Franks in that game, the Missouri game, the same time I pulled the starting offensive line.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, you know, I'm going to bench the starting offensive line next week. So we ran with that, though.
Yeah. No, it was – so that anyway, that's significant. In fact, I'm doing a piece for the weekend on how the SEC quarterbacks look all around the conference at every place, because the last spring game is Saturday. That is your Georgia Bulldogs.
The Dogs.
And we know who their quarterback's going to be.
Yeah.
There are a lot of schools, a lot of places where they still don't know, and Auburn being one of them. They claim it's a four-horse race, but
yeah.
you know they're not going to get four sets of reps.
No.
So now for Florida, you know, it kind of starts – the work begins getting ready for next year. But, yeah, like what you said, it's going to be such a short –
really
window.
Sure, I know.
And well, here's a question that I guess maybe we could ask Nick Savage. Does he have to speed up the process?
He may have to accelerate it a little bit, Pat, because you know, you're starting a week earlier. So
yeah. I mean, he, you know, but again.
And a lot of it revolves around, you know, classes, semesters beginning, ending, and all that too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, one thing Nick told me last year when I went down and did a story on him is that he's not trying to develop bodybuilders or weightlifters.
He's trying to
develop football players, athletes. And let me tell you what, guys, what I covered a lot of the NFL, so did Robbie. And what we will tell you is those guys are some of the best athletes in the world, and they're balls of muscle.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's unbelievable.
They may not look bigger, but, man, when they get it going with momentum.
And speed.
Yeah. Oh, it is ridiculous, and that's why they're so good. So that's kind of what they're trying to build here. So we'll see where it goes. Before you go, though, Robbie, I want to get your thoughts on what happened over the weekend. As you know, what Tiger did, what everybody did, and this is what I've been talking about. Nobody can make you stop and watch like he can.
No, it's not. I don't care
who you are.
He kind of cast a spell over everybody on Sunday. I mean, people all over the world were pulling for him. It was obvious,
or pulling against
him. Yeah,
yeah, but they were watching.
Yeah, but I was pulling for him because I wanted to see that moment that he this right. unbelievable comeback. So I kind of got nervous at the end because you know the other guys were there and in the lead, and then to see the reaction of the crowd and everything after that, it was such a special moment. People are going to remember that forever.
Yeah, it's so funny because my wife says, "Is your friend there, Glenn Greenspan?"
Yeah, and there I saw him.
And then all of a sudden, there he is, and he was getting this huge bear hug.
He did.
And
he went right after him.
I texted Glenn afterwards. I said, "Man, it looked like it broke a rib," and he said, "It felt great. It was the greatest feeling." He said, "I can't believe it. I can't believe he did it."
But I'm like a lot of people had. I did not think he'd ever win again a major. I didn't think he'd do it, and now he knows he can. So let's see what happens from here.
The only reason I thought he could was because of Augusta.
Yeah, that is a place. That,
yeah.
And he showed his knowledge so well on Sunday, how to play that course. When those guys went in the water on 12, he put it right in the middle of the green.
And you know where he put it? He put it where Nicholas always said he put it on Sunday, which is don't go for the pin.
Yeah, don't go for that sucker pin.
There's a sucker pin. Just hit it right in the middle.
Get your par and get out of there.
Yeah, exactly. And he took that advice. But, you know, It was amazing. It's a great story. It's one of the best stories we've ever seen. It's certainly not as big as Virginia winning on Monday.
We had
some Virginia fans that were trying to tell us it was the biggest story ever.
Which, no.
It was like Christ was born.
And then Virginia won.
They dropped the atom bomb and Virginia winning was third, I think. But no, it to me, it's one of the biggest stories ever, just because he did it. And you know, the other thing is, with Tiger is like I've rooted against him most of his life.
Yeah,
and the reason wasn't anything personal. It had nothing to do with his, you know, things he did.
Well, when somebody dominates like that, people do start turning on him.
It happened at Pebble Beach.
Yeah,
when he won by 12.
Yeah, he ruined the U.S. Open.
Yeah, ruined the U.S. Open. And I'm like, I'm rooting against you now because you are unbeatable, and I want you to be beat. So, but even when they was playing Valspar, remember when he came back last year and he was in contention? And I'm like, I wanted him to be in contention. And then I started going, I kind of went back to my old roots. But this one, I was rooting for him the whole way.
Yeah, I think most people were, Pat. It was an amazing day.
You knew how great it was going to be for golf.
Yeah.
And we both love golf.
And to see that moment when it happened, it was just surreal, the reaction of everybody.
Yeah, it's so funny. His first fist pump when he won, I was going, it was kind of subdued. And then,
but you know, all weekend he was calm in the course. Yep. He never did that fist pumping or anything like it. He was very calm and very focused.
And patient.
When he won, he let it out.
Gator fans could learn from Tiger Woods.
They could.
He was very patient. You've got to know when to go for it, when not to go for it, and where to hit it. And you're going to make mistakes. Don't let them get to you. Don't let them become double bogeys. It's a very simple list.
That is the thing with him. When he made a mistake, it didn't bother him, and he recovered. He came back and made up for it.
Well, hopefully the doctors won't make any mistakes Friday, Robbie, and
nice knowing you, Pat.
Yeah, we'll be back in a few days or a few weeks to start the podcast. And that's the other thing: this podcast, which usually goes on summer hiatus, ain't gonna be much summer. So
no, there's not.
It's only gonna be down for a little while. But we appreciate all the times Robbie's come on during this year, and we're gonna. Believe me, we'll be getting them on some more. Right now, though, we got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the golf. Also, Florida basketball. Some interesting things that have been happening there. And three things when we continue with the Duly Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com. Okay, we've gone a little long on those two segments, so let's. I want one last thing on Tiger. Is there was an interesting Twitter war? It wasn't even a war. There were people saying, "Hey, let's not give this guy too much credit. He's the one who cheated on his wife. He's the one who has to have a nanny because he doesn't have a a wife anymore. He's the one who turned, you know, became a scandalous, was having sex with everybody in sight, Perkins waitresses, strippers, hookers. He's the one who lived that terrible lifestyle, or great lifestyle, maybe. Maybe you believe it was a great lifestyle. The bottom line is he did all that put himself in national shame, so he should not be getting all this joy and love and family. Everybody should, how great it is with his family. And I look, there is that element, but it's still such a great story because of the, I look at more, his rehab wasn't about rehabbing his image. It wasn't about rehabbing his life. And a lot of people will tell you it is. It was about rehabbing his body. If he didn't get healthy and get to a point where he could play at that high level again, it wouldn't matter what he did. If he joined became a priest, if he ran for whatever he did, none of that was going to make him what he was on Sunday, which was he is the one guy you have to watch. You hate him, love him, whatever. But let me, it isn't any soccer player. People, oh, well, I don't know. What about Maradona? What about LeBron? Nah, man. They're big and they are superstars. Mike Trout is making millions and millions of dollars. So is Bryce Harper. Ain't nobody in China stopping to see what he's doing. Isn't anybody in, Argentina who's waking up in the middle, you know, to watch it. Actually, it might have been middle of the night in Argentina. The thing started so early. He's the only guy. He's the only one. He may be the only one in the history of sports. I'm serious about that. Who can make everybody stop. I got to watch this. I got to see what happens here. All right, one quick comment on basketball. A lot of movement, a lot of things going on. Florida with Andrew Nembhard declaring for the draft. I've talked to a lot of people. They believe he wants to go through it. They believe he wants to see what they say. He wants to go through some of these camps and everything, and it's a good opportunity for him. Do I think he's ready for the NBA? I don't, but I don't have to. All that matters is that scouts do. And usually – now, I think they're going to see a guy who plays who needs another year but could play right away. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, he's a better shooter than Lonzo Ball right now and Rajon Rondo. He became a better shooter. He worked really hard and became a really good shooter. Still not great at the rim. Still needs to get a little stronger. But you know, if he can do the things they need a backup point guard to do, he could still get drafted. My bet would be he would not get drafted, but he may not care. Maybe he wants to go out. Maybe he doesn't want to go to school anymore. Maybe he doesn't like Mike White. Well, I don't think that's true at all. Maybe he doesn't like his teammates. I mean, there are a million reasons why guys go. Hopefully he comes back. I'd love to see him play again next year. They're going to be fine, though. They're continuing to build a really good program. You know, they get the kid from La Tech, Anthony DeRuggie. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that name right. He's got to sit out a year, but everybody loves him. They think it's a brilliant move to get him. They're adding some size, obviously. They got a point guard who could step in if Nembhard leaves. People tell me he's like Chioza. Now, does that mean he's not going to be good until his junior year? I don't know, but, I mean, they're building a really solid program here, and I just wish Gator fans could sit back and say, we've got a really good coach, and he's building a program that's going to compete every year for an NCAA tournament, and then once it, you know, look, he's not building Kentucky, he's not building Kansas, he's not building Duke, he's not even building North Carolina, he's building the Florida program the best it can be, and once in a while, you get that team, and they're unbelievable. You look at, I use this as the example all the time, the 2013 team, no NBA players, but they worked together and they got it. That's kind of what you were hoping for this year, right? Three seniors that were all starters. Didn't work out. It's not always going to work out. Sometimes it's just not going to work out. It's chemistry. It's how you guys play off each other. It's whether your talents complement the other guy's talent. And it didn't for this team. And it took them a while to realize, here's what we got to do. Slow it down, try to be efficient, and try to make it a close game and try to figure out ways to win those games. That's what they did. They did it well enough to get in the NCAA tournament. But I just wish every Gator fan could just sit back and let it happen. Just let it happen in basketball. Everybody wants it to happen right away, and they get so mad. And I know, Robbie and I were talking, as you know, about people that get so upset about things like basketball when they lose a game. And I get it. People jump on the message board. It's a different world. You know, in the old days, and when I say old days, I'm talking about the 90s. You know, Florida lose a basketball game on TV. They weren't all on TV back in those days. Let's just say the game's on TV and lose it. You probably don't even think about it for an hour later. You probably go out to dinner and you don't even think about it. Somebody might say, hey, that's a tough one today. Yeah, yeah, we'll see what happens next week. But that's it. Now, you've already fired off 8 tweets and emojis and, you know, you've Instagrammed your, you know, something. It's a different world. My advice, sit back, watch it, enjoy it. He's building a nice program. Will it ever get to the point you want it to be? Probably not. Because you want national titles every year. Nobody wins national titles every year. In fact, you may well be aware, nobody's won back-to-back titles in a long time. Since a certain group of juniors did it with a senior sharpshooter. Okay? It's hard to do. Try to enjoy it. All right. Let's get to three things. All right, three things. Number one, you know, I do watch way too much sports talk on TV, okay? Way too much. I agree. I flip it on. A lot of times it's mindless. It's on there while I'm doing other things. But it always cracks me up when somebody says, is it time to be concerned about the Warriors because they lost last night? Is it time to be concerned about the Warriors because this and that? And I've always said, yeah, right. Is anybody picking anybody else to win it? Well, today, maybe it is time to worry about the Warriors. When you blow a 31-point second-half lead in the playoffs, I have a right to be concerned. I'm a Warriors fan. A total bandwagoner, okay? Totally bandwagon. But I do like them. You blow a 31-point lead and DeMarcus Cousins gets hurt, probably out for the rest of the season. That's a reason to be worried. So, yes, I am officially worried about the Warriors. Now, we'll see what happens from here on. Maybe it has worn on them, the whole Kevin Durant thing. And, you know, there's just been a lot going on with them. It's been a real drama. And usually they have some drama and they put it aside and they go win the championship. I don't know. We'll see this year. Number two. You couldn't help but think that possibly Florida's baseball season was saved on Saturday. It was a gloomy afternoon. They're down 4-2, and I'm driving home, and I'm like, that's unbelievable. They're going to lose another home series, and you know this team may be headed for total disaster this year. And then Jordan Butler hits a 3-run homer, and touches off an unbelievable celebration, a great celebration. Maybe it'll turn around. Maybe this will be the spark. I don't know, though. I don't know if they're good enough. I don't know if they're sparkable. We'll know a lot more after this LSU series. If they can somehow go win that series, they're not that far out of first place. They're 4 out right now. They could still make some noise in the second half of the season. I'm not sure they're good enough, but let's watch it. Sully's a great coach. We'll see what happens there. And finally, number three, I just want to say goodbye for now. Hopefully, be back with you soon. I really love doing these podcasts. I love all the people that come up to me and say nice things. And I love all the people that have sent me emails and texts and everything. wishing me good luck and saying prayers for me on this surgery. Again, I've been through it a lot. Second knee, I would love to believe it's the last one. I guess I shouldn't say that. What I should say is I hope I have many more surgeries. this was the hardest one because my knee would not – like it hurt and then it would stop hurting. And I think maybe I don't need it and then it would hurt again. And then I braced myself for surgery and then I found out I had to wait. And then it would quit hurting. And now I don't know if I want it. And then it started hurting. It's a long story. Anyway, the point being – I had to mentally psych myself up, and this is a rough rehab, so think of me. That's all I'm asking. I'm going to miss you guys as much as you're going to miss me, and I'll be back soon to continue to do this podcast. Appreciate Robbie for being on. Just appreciate all of you, every one of you. Love you guys, the public, the listening public that listen to this and made it very popular. We'll be back, okay? Think good thoughts, right? Until the next time I see you, I'm Pat Dooley, the sports columnist of the Gainesville Sun. I'm deep, I'm way back, and I'm out of here.